Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners. My name is John Scapini. I'm with the U.S. Sentencing Commission, and you're listening to a special mini-series on guideline amendments effective on November 1st, 2024, and will appear in the 2024 Guidelines Manual. In this episode, my colleagues Lori Baker and Ross Thomas will cover the amendment relating to loss calculations. Other policy areas in this series include acquitted conduct, circuit conflicts, youthful individuals, and miscellaneous and technical amendments. You can listen to all of the episodes in this series on iTunes and Spotify or on our website. Without further ado, here's Lori and Ross.
So now we're going to talk about the rule for calculating loss. Ross, can you give us a little bit of background on what this amendment is all about?
Yeah, I'm going to try not to get too nerdy because I kind of love this topic, but I think whenever I talk about it, it just drives people nuts. But in its most basic form, right, we have 2B1.1, which is our fraud and theft guideline. And in that guideline, we have commentary in addition to the guideline text that helps explain explain what that text means.
And when you say commentary, I think application notes. That's what I call those, are the application notes. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the application notes that follow the text of the guideline.
Okay.
And in 2B1.1, one of the primary drivers of this guideline is going to be how much loss there is that's involved in the offense. And we have several pages of commentary that tell us how to calculate loss, because there are a lot of different offenses that go there. But one of the core rules for calculating loss is that loss is the greater of actual or intended loss. So it's not just how much harm resulted, but how much harm the defendant specifically intended to cause had they been successful in an offense.
So that's the basic rule for calculating loss, greater of actual or intended. And then there are a whole lot of other rules in there that people need to follow to get to that end number. But starting with just that actual or intended, has there been some discrepancy in how those rules are applied?
Yes, and this is where it gets really nerdy. So,
try to contain yourself.
I'm just very excited about all of it. So, in all seriousness, there is a discrepancy to how much deference we give to this commentary. And different circuits have come to different conclusions. There are several circuits that defer to those application notes or that commentary, unless they're plainly inconsistent with the text of the guideline itself or violate the Constitution or another federal statute. But the Supreme Court has recently been very interested in administrative law principles, which that kind of standard that I articulated comes from. And one of those cases, it's called Kaiser versus Wilkie, pulled back on sort of the deference different agencies get when they interpret their own rules. And because of that, some circuits have taken the cue from the Supreme Court and said, well, we should probably also pull back on that commentary language or the deference we give to the commentary. So this really has created a split among the circuits. And one of the circuits that doesn't defer to commentary as readily as some of the others is the Third Circuit. And in applying this less deferential review of commentary, has basically struck those rules that we were talking about in the beginning about how to calculate loss, this right calculation of it's the greater of actual or intended, and said, no, we're not going to listen to that. We're just going to say actual loss. So it's created sort of a difference of opinions, specifically with regard to how we calculate loss in 2B1.1.
So the Third Circuit is going with the plain reading of the text of the guideline itself and not deferring to the commentary or application notes to dig further into what those rules mean. Am I hearing you correctly?
Bingo. And this is creating differences or disparities to how people are sentenced for doing exactly the same thing. If you live in New Jersey or Pennsylvania or Delaware, you may be sentenced less harshly than someone who lives in a place like California or Oklahoma. And the Sentencing Commission doesn't really like that, right? One of our core missions is to eliminate unwarranted sentencing disparities. So that's something the commission was interested in kind of fixing and leveling the playing field.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. So what does this amendment do to try to fix that issue?
So the fix is, let's move the commentary to the text of the guideline itself. The underlying dispute, as I was talking about, was how much can we defer or listen to these application notes? Well, one solution is to just make them guidelines themselves.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Right? It's an
easy solution.
So it really just moves kind of some of those core rules for how we calculate loss. Not only this intended loss where we've sort of been discussing, but rules for when we can use gain and a couple other rules. It just moves them to the text so that we don't have any dispute about whether to listen to them or not. They're in the text. They're not in the commentary.
So hopefully now the Third Circuit will be interpreting things the same way as the other circuits and help to reduce that sentencing disparity.
Bingo. And one of the other things that the commissioners said at the kind of public hearing is that this doesn't necessarily indicate that this is going to be the rule moving forward. They may re-examine this whole principle, but the important fix here is just making sure everyone's being sentenced the same way, or at least sentenced from the same starting point. And if they want to make changes, they may sort of re-examine that in the future.
Well, that seems super important.
It is very important. We want people to be sentenced fairly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. You can listen to each part of this miniseries on iTunes and Spotify, as well as our website. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and is not binding upon the Commission, Court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.